Mr. Kongo, Chairman of the Audit and Risk of MTG.
Our apologies for Mr. Phumzile Zwane, who is the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee of NEXA, and is not available today because
on a presentation to another
committee as CFO of State-Owned National Development Agency, NPA. Therefore, Mr. Dick Mieza, the CFO of NEXA, will make the presentation in his behalf. Through you, Mr. Chairman, or Honorable Chairman, I would like to have our CEO to make the presentation.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. Because you are veteran, you are allowed to say, Mr. Chairman. You are allowed to say that too. CEO. Thanks, Chairman. The Honorable Committee. We meet again during our annual reporting of the year 2013-2014. I'll be talking to you briefly, you know, the next Monday. We've discussed it a few times, but I'll touch on it. And I'll touch on the group performance reports, capital projects, strategic outcomes, integrated projects, transformation, directives from SONA, and international collaborations. And then the Chief Finance Officer, through you there, I will hand over to the Chief Finance Officer to talk about financial performance and future plans. NEXA is directed by the Nuclear Energy Act and the Nuclear Energy Policy of 2008 and further directives that are considered by the Minister of Energy. The Nuclear Energy Act mandates NEXA to undertake and promote research and development in the field of nuclear energy, process source material, nuclear material, restricted material, and to reprocess and enrich source material and nuclear materials. To cooperate with any person or institution, and to execute institutional responsibilities as conferred by the minister, and of course to operate Safari 1 reactor and do the decommissioning and decontamination of waste and the management of international obligations. The NEXA group performance for 2013-2014, I will touch on it on a cluster basis. For the nuclear power cluster, we talked about the nuclear fuel cycle program and the Pelican group activities. The nuclear fuel cycle program has yielded a business case that we are busy trying to finance. And the Pelican group financials, the actual achievement was a negative of $7 million, as opposed to a target of $21 million. In terms of radiation science and applications cluster, we talk about NTP Group, Safari One, and the LEU fuel and pellet manufacturing plant. The NTP Group achieved the total achievement of profit is $89 million, and the Safari One exceeded its target by over 20 days, and the LEU fuel and pellet manufacturing plant has been replaced because we found that the target was not a proper one. So we replaced it and changed the targets to security of supply of LEU fuel. But of course, the project has an outline business case as was required, although we changed tack during the year. Chair and the Honorable Committee, NEXA is a host of nuclear power programs. We undertake a decontamination and decommission program that is approved by Cabinet. and it looks to compliance to safety, health, environment and quality licenses and other regulatory requirements. In terms of the DND program, we exceeded the target by about 4% in terms of DND, and in terms of the check requirements, our performance is well below what is required in terms of limits. It's not targets in terms of check requirements, it is limits. So whatever we call target here, it's set a limit which we strive to be below. Cross-cutting priorities, the next corporate financials, we aimed to reach the 1 billion rand mark in terms of our income, or let's say revenue. We are 926 million instead of the 1 billion. Good progress from the previous financial year where we achieved less than 900 million. We are steadily approaching our target. In terms of R&D outcomes, innovation value chain, and reference outputs, we achieved above target. Cross-cutting priorities, subcomposition. This aspect of the work is difficult, Chair, to achieve when you are not recruiting on a major scale. We marginally beat our target because we had a bit of a renewal because of our section, previous Section 189 program. We had an exit of staff. As we are replacing the exiting staff, we've achieved our staff composition as per target with a marginal hitting of target. In terms of key capital projects, the work to develop the other business cases and project briefs for the NEU and target manufacturing plan is complete. The project scope has changed, as I mentioned, Chair, to cover security of supply of NEU fuel and target place. And the Safari 2 project is an outline business case that is being prepared, and we are fast advancing to completing the user requirement specifications in order to move this project forward. In terms of the B-Line upgrade, which is a neutron research facility located inside the Safari reactor, we continue to work on schedule here. And of course, with the security upgrade phase one, we have completed the phase one of that project. This constitutes largely the new fence around the telecom site to beef up our security. In terms of strategic outcomes, oriented goals and priorities, we're raising the performance of R&D in the new Chemical Excellence Center. In fact, we'll be reporting in the next year that in terms of the new manufacturing center, now we are capable of designing at very high capabilities, and we are matching with strength to achieving the localization of new manufacturing components. We are increasing the awareness of network research and production outputs and positive impacts. You see very lately that we are often in the media to try and demystify nuclear. We are finding sustainable funding models for the expansion and enhanced viability of NASA subsidiaries. We're working with partners such as IGC to find those, and we're beginning a dialogue with the DBSA to ensure that we can achieve our expansion objectives. Expanding the R&D, collaborating with the Chamberlain. In fact, we are in serious dialogue to take over some of their business components because they are mainly research, they are not business. And we do business and research with equal capability these days. In terms of strategic outcomes oriented goals and priorities, the future proofing of NASA activities, this is a critical area of work. We can't work on you in short term. We must ensure that we are future-proofed in terms of getting the Safari 2 online. The feasibility study is proceeding with speed for Safari 2, and the security of supply is extremely important for us in terms of our future activities. The maintenance of the site infrastructure is based on risk and potential liabilities, and we have a 200 million METF funding that we are rolling out to the projects that are of critical importance for the institution. We are strengthening NASA's project management and business development capabilities, continually doing so because as a research-based entity, with scientists and engineers, we need to phase this in, because scientists are not very good business people often, and engineers like engineering and not look at cost. So we are building those capabilities continuously. It's going to be a slow process, but it's focused and it's driven. Strategic assist development and transformation by advancing employment equity. As you can see with our numbers, the targets that we set for ourselves, we drive very hard and we try and achieve. And of course, shareholder support for key strategic projects is continuously sought. We will work with our shareholder hand in hand on a continuous basis. And of course, we will use this opportunity, Chair, to thank the shareholder for being our partner. In terms of alignment to strategic integrated projects, we contribute to SIP 10, SIP 14, and SIP 4. SIP 10 is underpinned by us in terms of our work around the Safari 2 and our skills development center. In terms of SIP 14, the higher education infrastructure, NASA provides research and development platforms and also trains high-level students of PhD and master's level, artisans and technicians, and we work closely with a number of universities and the Department of Science and Technology. We're beginning a very strong partnership with the Department of Higher Education. And at this stage, our plans are to work also with the Department of Basic Education, because the pipeline is not a strong one. In the SIP 4, the economic opportunity, we work with the Northern Province, where NASA is the second largest employer in that province. We train a large proportion of accidents from Northwest Province. This is where we are located here. Transformation, NASA has recently adopted the EE targets for the next 5 years in order to accelerate the representativity across previously disadvantaged groups. Across the organization, we have created employment equity forums, which are meeting very regularly, and during the 2014 Triple BEE verification process, NASA Triple BEE corporate rating moved from level 4 to level 3. In the year that we are reporting, we're reporting that we are level 4, if you look at our annual report, but we see it smooth because the evaluation came after the close of our books to level 3. We are dealing at the moment, albeit in a very unstructured manner, with directives from the SONA of 2013-14, in terms of NASA's role in New Japan. We are preparing ourselves strongly in terms of our manufacturing to embed and underpin localization and activities related to the nuclear fuel cycle. We need security of supply for not only our electricity, but input products in the production thereof. Of course, we are strong in terms of skills development, and we are increasing our standing. International collaborations, we have MOUs, Chair, and the Honorable Committee, with various entities and countries to ensure that we can meet our objectives. NASA experts continuously contribute to international fora such as the International Atomic Energy Agency. We participate in policy conferences and we contribute to the international discourse in the World Nuclear Association as well as the International Atomic Energy Agency. If you allow me, I'll ask our Chief of Finance Officer to present the financial report.
We are very respectful. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair and Committee, this is the financial report. We first kick off by looking at our procurement spend. The expenditure comparing 2014 and 2013, if you look at the percentage of orders on BEE, there's been a significant increase. Orders was last year was 63%, 77% in 2014. Suppliers 55% with BEE, 65% this year, and in total expenditure value wise, 76% last year, 2014 was 86%. So there's an expenditure increase on BEE companies. Top 10 suppliers, why you're highlighting it is because there's a risk in terms of depending on one supplier, so there's a nice spread amongst the suppliers. Of the top 10 suppliers, first one is 12.5% of the total expenditure, going all the way up to 1.1%. Interestingly, number 4 on our top 10 is a regulator. Risk, financial risk, there are two main issues, risks that we want to highlight here. Risk associated with the going concern of one of our subsidiaries, Belcam, was under extreme pressure this financial year in terms of the going concern. We had to issue a letter of support in that regard, otherwise we would have been qualified. Then the contingent liabilities arising out of decommissioning and decontamination of network operational facilities, the liabilities are significant in that regard and must be backed up by cash. And there are mitigating strategies to deal with those issues. The board has formed a task group to deal with the Pelican, finding options on sustainability of the subsidiary. In the November, the final report will be presented. An initial report has already been presented to board in terms of options in that regard. Coming to the DLD liabilities, we are engaging with the Department of Energy as well as Treasury to find some funding strategies for those significant liabilities in that regard. Now, this being the model, this is the model that we use in terms of looking at the financial sustainability of our organization. Basically, looking at all these areas need to be, we have strategies for all these areas to ensure financial sustainability. Robust budgeting model, effective cash management, quality investment management, funding strategies. And on the two sides of the same point, we have got effective cost management, and then on the other side, revenue enhancement, generating new businesses, etc., etc. All that cutting across must be corporate governance and risk management. So that's the model that we use in this regard. How is our funding? When you look at the government grant, the trend has been a reduction. We look at the base year being 2011-12, and we're looking at the if inflation was applied on a grant across across those years, how would the picture look? So this line is looking at what the council received. This was once off a grant of 190 million, including that we got. Otherwise, the trend is this is the grant. If inflation was applied to the grant, it would have been in this line. So you can see the difference in that the government grant is reducing. Having said that, similar to our regulator issue, we're also been reeling from shock in terms of the National Treasury having indicated that there will be a reduction of 200 million over a 2-year period, and that will definitely paralyze next. So that is a big issue that we're busy engaging with. We will assume we're still confident that National Treasury will look at it in that area, because the basis on which that was based is not properly accurate. Look at our cash in bank, 489 million over the period. It does not represent cash reserves. Only 18 million of that is Nexus cash reserves. And note that out of that 18, we still have got creditors to pay of 90 million. So, the whole 470 million of the cash is third-party funding as well as ring-fenced funding. So that's the basis on which we are still engaging with the National Treasury, and we are very worried about the particular in
internship of paralyzing network. Fellow teachers, changes from the previous year, you note that the group sales reduced by 3%, which is a negative, whereas the company expenses increased by 40%. The 3% reduction was mainly because one of our subsidiaries at NTP was an incident, and the estimated loss of that was 88 million, of which 58 million was recovered from the insurance. However, important to note that group personnel costs increased by only 3% over the previous year. How is our income split? Sales, that is where we need to be focusing, as we indicated earlier, that government grant is reducing, is 70%, 21% is government grant. So our focus is on increasing sales as opposed to grants, such that we can be self-sustainable at the end of the day. As company income, at group expenditure, 54%, normal general expenses of food personal cost at 35%. Is a split in terms of the group expenditure. I'm not going to focus on the company. And then the company sales. Group sales and company sales. With group sales, here we're trying to look at what aspects do we generate externally foreign versus local. You note that at group level, 69% of our sales come from foreign sales. It means we're earning foreign currency, 31% local, 62% company level. But the group is where we're focusing on, which means the value that Nexa generates the country in terms of generating their sales from international. Financial highlights. Yet I'm quite proud for this report for all entities within the group. As you can just indicate, technically going from bad to good, reports can be, there can be a disclaimer type of a report, can be an address report, can be a qualified report, and an unqualified audit report. So we're saying it's a qualified audit report, and that is what we achieved. In terms of the CEO has highlighted the achieved performance, but 10 out of the 13 were achieved in terms of the key performance indicators. But if we adjust the NTP profit for the insurance recovery, we achieved 84.6%. In our humble way, by anybody's standards, cum laude. So, 1.9 million was additional funding that we received. The CEO has indicated we have signed an MOU with IDC in terms of looking at funding strategies, that we're going to continuously look at those kind of partnerships for purposes of funding. Financial pressures through the period under review. We indicated on healthcare, our subsidiary, 88 million of that investment in our work was reduced by 88 million. The certain payment is above. And then on group sales, already indicated there was a 3% reduction over previous periods. When you talk salaries, in terms of the salary bill, normally you find your budget a certain percentage, normally CPI related, but then the agreement is higher than that, so the increase comes from that. That being the case, we however maintained the increase of 3% over the previous year. There are increases that are outside our normal. When we budget CPI, but there are increases from electricity, rates and taxes, licenses, etc., which are higher than that, and that gives us measures on that. We are having cost-saving measures that are looking at some of the variable expenses, like S&T, consultancies, etc., to try and cover for that. But that's where the pressure comes from the expenditure. I think the CEO has highlighted the predetermined objectives, but these are the financial ones. NTP, corporate, PECM, I think we'll just go through that because we've already highlighted that aspect. Next, the corporate, again, one thing that I want to highlight on the corporate income, which was lower, was that also orders, the time of which orders have not yet been invoiced, they're still not complete, which when they are invoiced and completed, it can improve on the income. So that's one aspect I want to highlight. On the statement of financial position, which basically used to be called the balance sheet, you can look at the total asset base is 2.3 billion at group level, 1.5 at Nexa company level. That's an estimate of comprehensive income at group level is 1.6 billion. Slight deduction from previous year, 1.68. When you look at the bottom line, which is that time, group 60 million, lower than previous year. I've already highlighted the reasons for that. The loss of 39, which was 21 better than last year. That's the estimate of comprehensive income. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as irregular expenditure. On the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the focus is obviously on the amount of growth. Our target is there should be zero there. Unfortunately, there was some fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was incurred at group level, 300,000 on a base of 1.6 billion, whilst it is 0.18%. But like we say, we're targeting 3% in that regard. Three things have been put in place to prevent that, because it was more of a payment of some nature that could be recovered on time in that regard. And we have put controls that are now improved to ensure that we do not incur those kind of overpayments. Regular expenditure. Regular expenditure as defined is income, it's expenditure that was authorized, but there was non-compliance. I'm just going to highlight the fact that the focus here, as opposed to fruitless aggregation, where the focus is on amount, the focus here is on compliance. In that regard, of the 5.8 million that was irregular, and the context of which that happened must be understood. One, there was procurement of goods and services. When we go out on a tender, if the amount is below a million, you've got to go 80-20, 80 for price, when you evaluate 20 for BEE. When the amount is above a million, you go 90, 90 for price, 10 for BEE. So what happened in this instance is we went up on a tender at expecting that it will come in below a million, therefore saying 80-20, whereas when it came in, the bids came in at above that. So the evaluation was according to the legislation. We evaluated at 90-10, but the auditors were saying, but we declared it as 90-10. But that is something that, they came in higher than what was expected. So in terms of addressing that, we're thinking we would be, when we go out on tender, we just explain both areas, where in cases specifically, where we are not certain where the tenders will be coming in, which will come in. That to say, when the amount is 1 million and below 80-20, when the amount is above 1 million, 90-10. Because in some cases, you may not necessarily be certain as to when the bids will come in. Second incident is, these are isolated occurrences where, in terms of looking at the files, we will just find files of suppliers, that the tax clearance certificates were not filed. And therefore, it was declared as an irregular expenditure. Not now in place in terms of the filing, but it's important to highlight that as a standard, whenever we evaluate and whenever I comply with requirements from the bidders, tax clearance certificates will always be there. It's just a matter of the misfiling that happened, which when it was audited, it was found that those tax clearance certificates were not there. Subsequent to the audit, during the audit, we specifically went back to those suppliers, because we knew they had the clearance certificate, but they were not on file, and they supplied those tax clearance certificates. Auditor General's report, basically, there were no uncorrected material errors. There was an emphasis of matter on the contingent liabilities, like I highlighted, decommissioning and decontamination of operational facilities, significant amounts, and we must have some funding for that going forward, which we are engaging with DOE and Treasury, as highlighted earlier on. But in summary, the Nexar Group of companies achieved an unqualified audit report for the 2013-14, which is again Bill of Health financially. Share through you, that's where we end the financial report. What follows is the audit risk committee, where the audit committee chair asked that it is a report, but we could present it on his behalf. May I continue?
Explain that.
This is the audit chair's report, audit committee chair's report. It follows. The audit committee chair has our chair has indicated that he was not here, he has been presented on his behalf. Did he use the court?
Yeah, just hold on. Is there a comment there, honorable members? Chair, I'm thinking to understand why he's not here. I haven't actually been given a reason. He's been told he's not here or she's not here. And considering Sir Nadi got dragged over the coals yesterday, I'm just trying to apply equal, you know, equal opportunities to all. The eyes by Nathan Sewell, Chair. Honorable member wants to know, why is the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee not here? We were told, we did get the apology, but the question is, what's the reason for the absence?
Chair of Audit and Risk is the Chief Finance Officer of the National Development Agency. And today, you requested that we present ourselves, and so it is the committee that the NDA reports. So he's representing his employer in another chamber whilst we're here. He couldn't have split himself into two chambers.
Chair,
this, okay. The chair is somewhere here in Parliament making another presentation. On behalf of his employer. I remember very well. Honorable Makas?
Chair, if I may, that's just not actually frankly a civil answer. These sorts of scheduling can be overcome. I'm sure this wasn't, although I know Parliament is notoriously bad at scheduling, we should be scheduling these things in such a way that people can attend both and not be having to force themselves to be split between. Because frankly, the big question is about this report. And I think, you know, the full team should be here. And generally, we should deal with the scheduling issues in advance. We can't have a situation on the morning we're told that the head of audit can't be here because he's elsewhere. When was the apology received? Why was your thing not adjusted to deal with the issue in advance? I mean, it's just, it's not a good one.
I hear you, honorable members. Continue.
Thanks, Chair. The audit committee has got a term of reference that has been adopted, and the committee reports that they discharge their responsibility in accordance with that. Committee comprises three non-executive directors, and the chair is a qualified chartered accountant who is qualified to do so. The role of the committee is to assist the board in overseeing the quality and integrity of the financial statements, the effectiveness of the external audit function, as well as the company's internal controls and internal audit function. It indicated the audit committee interrogated the financials and accepted the financials read with the AG report and recommended to the board. As indicated earlier, there were no uncorrected material as said. The committee has instructed management to have an AG report commitment plan, and the commitment plan is the management's project plan to address AG's findings, which gets reported to the audit committee quarterly, and progress monitored by the audit committee on a quarterly basis. Regarding the roles and responsibilities of the audit committee and how they were executed, committee is satisfied that the external auditor is independent. Of course, the auditor is AG in this respect, and the committee agreed to the engagement letter. Budgeted policies for 2014. Then in terms of the annual financial statements, I'm still dealing with the roles and responsibility of the audit committee. Committee evaluated annual financial statements. The committee concurred with the adoption of the program concept premise of the annual financial statements. The committee recommended the adoption of the annual financial statements to the board of directors. With regards to the internal financial controls, the committee was satisfied that the internal controls of the organization are adequate and they are maintained and they are being monitored by the audit committee. that those are to reduce the entity's risk to an acceptable level, to meet the business objective of the organization, to review the changes in accounting policies and practices, to ensure the agility that assets are adequately safeguarded, that transactions are recorded accurately, that there is compliance with legislation and the company policy, and that there is adequate and reliable performance information being maintained by the organization. With regards to compliance monitoring, which is one of the roles of the audit committee, monitored the compliance with all sort of legislation that impacts on the organization, PFNA, Nuclear Energy Act, and all other related monitoring. Financial controls in this regard, in terms of the going concern, the committee reviewed management assessment of the solvency and the liquidity of the organization. The outlook was not so so good in terms of the assessment, in that because of the impact that we highlighted earlier of the PELCAP being under extreme pressure, so something that needs to be watched, as well as that decommissioning and the condemnation abilities that needs to be looked at. This was the audit committee is monitoring. On the governance of risk, the committee overseeing the risk management and it's satisfied that the appropriate and effective systems in place for risk management within the organization. So that's where it ends. I think when it comes to the future plans, requesting the chair, I think I will ask the CEO to deal with the future plans.
What is your? Thank you, Chair. The main focus in the year ahead will be to further align the organization's expenditure framework with the available resource base. And of course, the challenges are not few. The newest one is that National Treasury wants to claw back 195 million rand over 2 years from that, which would just make this an impossible undertaking to make. Nexus group process for the near future include the government decision regarding procurement process or planned nuclear power reactor fleet, projects towards the establishment of LEU and talent state manufacturing, in-principle decision making regarding the multi-purpose reactor that we call SOFAR 2, and the continuing progress on the Kitakela project. Nexus group prospects for the near future include the following. The further market penetration for new NDP business initiatives. We are focused, strongly focused in forward integrating the NDP value proposition and ensuring that we access a bigger market. The demonstration of the Plus Waste to Energy system, which is based on plasma, and the demonstration of uranium recovery processes from molybdenum residues in the operations of NTP. We further looking at the expansion of the NTP network. We're completing at the moment three clinical trial facilities on the NESA site to fast track the production of drugs for treatment of dreaded diseases such as cancer. And the application for an NSF to support NSF3 accreditation. I will tell the chair that this NSTEP application has been successfully applied for already. Thank you, chair. We'll allow it questions.
Thank you very much, Nessa. Honorable members, are there any questions? It doesn't look like there are any questions. Okay. Honorable Matala, shall I hand off? No. I'm asking. Look, your hand is up. That's all. Let me start this way. Going from this way, I agree with honorable members that this is our
first and last one after that. Honorable Faku, Cortez, Honorable Faku, Honorable Mabuna, Honorable Matala, Honorable Felim, Honorable Makai, Honorable Lo. Honorable Faku.
Thanks. I think the questions asked represent also my question to say the question of internship, whether Nexa takes an internship. Also, it was mentioned that Nexa at one stage was at level 4. Now it's at level 3, which becomes an excitement of. But I think 3 and 4, according to numbers, 4 is bigger than 3. I don't know why. I don't know why 3 becomes so exciting when it comes to arrangement of numbers. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Matala.
Thank you, Chair. Congratulations for you receiving the clean audit for the year 2013 and 2014. One, Chair, is that can we get a clarity with regard to the report from NESA that says the plasma waste to energy has the potential to not only reduce waste but to also generate energy from heat. This could substantially benefit smaller municipalities and industry. And NEXA, please outline where are they with regard to commercializing this technology? And what are their plans to roll out this in South Africa? The other one, Chair, it is with regard to the seemingly my colleagues might have raised these things, but let me emphasize on it. The NESA says in their report that they've trained 775 apprentices at this nuclear skills development center. Can NEXA please elaborate what percentage of this number were? Can also NEXA elaborate on placing this artisan in the job market? Even if it was raised this question, I just wanted to emphasize on it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Freya.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, and thank you, Nectar, for your presentation. I noticed in your presentation that you kind of showed the worm and the fact that your budget isn't increasing in line with inflation. But your worm is a little bit different to the National Media Regulator. You, in fact, aren't experiencing a cut in the funding that's been given to you. You are, in fact, once again receiving about 576 million rand from the fiscus. So the issue is, and this has always been my concern with regards to NEXA, and you're probably aware of this, and I bring it up every time, is to say that part of your operations has a commercial sector to it, and that does make a certain profit. But yet at the same time, you are having to take at least half a billion rand from the fiscus each year to fund the rest of your operations. And so, you know, the question always comes in, how do we make this a going concern that isn't necessarily a drain on the fiscus? Or are we saying that the kind of work that you do besides your commercial operations is of significant national interest, that it needs to be funded by the taxpayer? And if that is the case, I mean, I know that with this huge nuclear build program that government seems to be committed to, there might very well be a huge role for NECSA within that. But if that program doesn't, for whatever reason, actually take place, what are the kind of core functions of NECSA that you believe are in the strategic national interest that need to continue to be funded to this amount? And I'd be interested in your answers around that. I understand there's certain things that you have to do, and there's certain things that we have to do, such as storing the highly enriched uranium. You have to have security around that, and that has to be funded, and those kinds of things. But if you can just give us a list of some of the other things that you think that we have to keep doing as a country. Then just the issue around Pelgam. I mean, you mentioned it briefly, but what exactly is the issue that happened there? And you said there was an incident as well. What was the incident that you referred to? If you can just elaborate a bit on that so that we can fully understand those issues. And then the question of Vulpix. What's the future of Vulpix, and how are we looking financially with Vulpix? And the storage of low-level and medium-level waste there. How much money, do we need a greater injection of money into Vulpix, in terms of keeping it going and in terms of all the kind of safety stuff around that? I think I'll leave it there for now, but I'm sure my colleague will have other questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I've been mostly covered by my colleague, but I was just interested to follow up on the questions that I asked earlier, which I think are probably more appropriate for NECSA. Is the number of incidences around nuclear safety or the nuclear facilities or the use of nuclear products, what is the scale of accidents associated with those sorts of, or the use of nuclear material in South Africa? Obviously, considering that South Africa is going to potentially become a far more nuclearized nation, it would just be interesting to know. Again, I just reset my question on the nuclear material. If we could get some idea of what's happening with iron-enriched nuclear material, does it seem to be growing? It was a question I posed earlier if you were here. I'd just be keen to understand. It's just a lagging question that I have in the back of my mind. Also, just to reiterate on Pelgam, there are two specific slides that deal with it in great detail, which is slide 20 and slide 40, I think it is. Or 46. Again, just the specific questions around the comments that have been made, which seem to me to be quite strong, is that the going concern of Qualcomm is under extreme pressure, and the current contingent liabilities related to decommissioning, decontamination, and decontamination of NECSA's strategic nuclear facilities require significant funding. It's a bit vague. Significant funding in the magnitude of what? The consequences of if you don't receive it mean what? I find that quite a vague statement, considering that in the line of that is rather serious. Because I'd like to understand where NECSA feels that the money is going to come from. Is it going to come from an extra request from Treasury? Is it going to increase NECSA's burden on the Treasury or the business? We just really would like to have a better understanding of what we're talking about in terms of the magnitude of the actual money that's required. I'd also just, again, in terms of the incident that you've mentioned, in terms of your NTP, it seems to have been responsible for a very significant pause in your production. If you can just give us the idea of, I see a lot of that was recovered from insurance as well, but what is the incident? Is it something to do with age or is it security or what caused it, and how do we know, is it something that we expect to occur again in one or two financial years? Is it something that is recurrent or is it a once-off? Just so I can understand, because it is a large part of where your money actually and your income comes from. And then also, I'm just interested to understand, it seems like NECSA is spending its growth hopes on the nuclear deal. Now, there's so much uncertainty around the nuclear deal. Again, you'll say this sentence is pretty vague. Government decisions regarding the procurement process for planned nuclear power feet. How much of your business plan going forward are you banking on South Africa signing this deal? Because obviously you don't understand the magnitude, you don't understand the time frames. When exactly would NECSA be able to start to benefit from any decision taken, as far as the 10-15 construction window, when exactly does Nexa see itself becoming involved? And also, what kind of numbers are you running on the numbers of facilities that you build? I mean, obviously that will be deep impact on your future viability. And then the question is, again, is a question that we asked yesterday to Zanedi, is if we have to make a case to the minister for why Nexa should continue or not continue, what would the case be? I'm very interested to understand, because from what I can see, first of all, the report made lots of vague statements around a whole host of things due to incidences, hands for. It doesn't seem to be particularly concrete, and I'm wondering if there isn't a future in which Nexa doesn't exist, but parts of what it does are allocated to different bodies. Because frankly, right now, it doesn't seem like there's a compelling continued business case for Nexa that I can see. So I'd be interested to understand what you guys think is the reason Nexa should exist, and then I look forward to your next year hearing about your strategic plans. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Law.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm partly covered by all of my colleagues here, so since I'm the only one of EFF, they are all my colleagues for the portfolio committee, so I'm partly covered by some of the inputs they have given. But what I would like to also know from Nexa is you have put in your future plans, you have several future plans, but you don't tell us when are that going to happen. So I would like to know when you are coming to present, please, as I said to all of the other entities, tell us your time frame by when, how is the things going to happen, because just to say this is your future plans and we don't know as a committee that have to give oversight to when these things are going to happen, so that will also assist us. You give us time runs. And then as well to the type of incident that you guys are having here on page 3. So I would also like to know, even if you can't answer that now, if you can perhaps send an email to the portfolio secretary that will forward it us as well, what common incidents do you have, what in your plans and so forth. And then my third and last one, Chair, is the one on page 6. Of the skills and development, you mentioned there you are in continuous negotiations with universities. Which universities? Because I'm also sitting on the science and technologies portfolio, and I know there's a huge gap with researchers and so forth, but it was in our country and sourcing them as well. So what are you doing as Nexa to sourcing those researchers and let them? You know, just go to university and get their PhDs and so forth, and they leave the country. What do you do as Nexa to ensure that we keep those researchers within our country? Thank you very much, Chair.
Hello, Member
Shah. Okay. Thanks, the elders are providing direction. Firstly, I want to welcome the presentation by Nexa and also congratulate you on the Auditor General's findings. And I've also seen that next year you'll be 50 years. We are looking forward on the programs that you will be implementing in our communities when you celebrate your 50 years. Chair, on the presentation by Nexa, there's a slide that refers to the funding for nuclear forensic that did not materialize. What are the challenges, the shortcomings, and any intervention that you would want the committee to make is a part of the assistance towards this. My fellow colleague, Honourable Law, referred to the other question which I wanted to ask on science and technology. Now, what I want to understand is that on the pharmaceuticals, what are the developments there? Because we would want to understand and be, you know, equipped if there are any plans to leverage whatever benefits that might be there. And I see that there are issues of irregular expenditure. What have you done about this? And what are the processes, if there are processes that are unfolding, we need to be taken into confidence as a committee on such things so that they don't just blow out of proportion. Those are the few questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks. As Honourable Member said, Neta can respond to the questions and by agreement, so that was the first and the last round of questions, so there will be no follow-up questions. Is it true that it will be 50 years next year?
The 50 years of suffering, that thing is celebrated. Not there.
It's partly true, Chair. It's partly true. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. The question of age. NEPSA as an entity is more than 50 years old. However, in 1965, a reactor was commissioned, of Safari 1, is turning 50 next year. We're planning a few celebrations, and we'll be inviting the committee to some of those. The young lady, Safari, who is very beautiful, is 50 years younger next year, and we shall celebrate. Chair, there is a question around our training. I've gone through the questions as they came. And the number of women in our training programs. And the second question to that relates to how many of these are placed into jobs. The one I'm able to answer outright is how many do we place into jobs? And I'll tell you that it's very close to 100%. Because primarily that some of them come through companies already, they are already employed when they come to us. And so we train them for companies, and so they get placed. And those that don't get placed directly like that, they end up as apprentices and interns in our institution, because we consume our own product as far as possible. I'm unable to give a number, a concrete number to the number of ladies in our training, and I will endeavor to find an answer for you. It's not a very high number because training in the sciences and maths for our young ladies beyond high school is not a very high number. But I'll find the actual number for you. The next question relates to the triple BEE score. I'll make an analogy that if you are first, you're called number one. So in triple BEE, we are striving for number one. So we were level four, now we're level three. We shall proceed. We shall proceed that way, working very hard to be number one or at level one. I don't know why the scores are aligned that way, but it makes sense to me that when you're good, you're number one.
we accept the congratulations around the clean audit. We worked very hard to achieve it, and we will continue to work hard to achieve it further. In terms of the plaster waste to energy, the question was, how far are we in terms of the commercialization? We are at feasibility stage. We try to find the sizes and to be able to say it operates for 5 years, for 10 years. We guarantee, you know, you need a demonstration model to do this. In this regard, we are working with the Gauteng province, the Gauteng Growth and Development Agency, to identify sites at Sidibeng, at Egurulen, precisely for this demonstration. And we intend to roll this out further, but we have to demonstrate different sizes at the identified sites by GGDA. And then, and of course, we work with Sanity in this regard. They would have told you about our plus value energy yesterday. We plan to roll it out throughout South Africa, as you say, but we're not going to roll out something untested because there is energy need. We don't want municipalities to start working on aspects that are not proven. We think we'll prove it within a few years. I don't know when, but we were working very hard. And the next question repeats the percentage of number of women and the placement, I think that's answered. And then we have the one around funding, the grant reduction. Why do we need grant for next? What are the core functions for which this grant is required? I will start with why do we need a grant for NEXA. NEXA does research and development on behalf of the state in nuclear-related matters. And research and development largely does not generate income. We are directed, and we take that direction very seriously, to commercialize our research outputs. And HEP Radioisotopes, which is a billion rand company, is one of those outputs that we've commercialized. However, we need to do more of that, but to do this, you need to, as I've spoken about the plasma to waste energy, you need to be able to demonstrate, and then you can commercialize. So we're working in several areas to do that. But what we're doing that is a costly business that requires money that we can only derive from the state in one way or another. And I must say that it's not just the grant coming from DOE that we utilize. We work with the Department of Science and Technology, and lately we started to work with the Gauteng province to make sure that we can get additional grant funding to drive the commercialization process. The core functions that need crowdfunding. It's R&D, it's the handling of and the safeguarding of legacy waste from our previous activities. It is the security around the site, it's the maintenance of the site. And other activities. And in other activities, I am including such things as national safeguards. We undertake the national safeguards program for the South African government in order to support obligations that the state has with the international community. We host the activities of the government, and therefore we need the government to be able to pay for that, otherwise it would be impossible to do. I will stop there in terms of the core function that needs grant funding. In terms of calcium,
There was no incident at that time. The incident I'll talk about an NTP, and I'll describe it to you. Eltham has been struggling primarily because, and maybe I'm going to tell you a little bit about Eltham. Eltham has developed 25 products that are fluorine-based. And these products go into many sectors of industry. It goes into cosmetic products. It goes into such things as toothpaste. It goes into touch screens. It goes into manufacture of motor cars. It goes into such things as refineries. The refineries use our HF in their processes. It is an industrial set of products that underpin most developed economies. And so it's a very important company in the stable of NESA. However, because of the economies of scale related issues and other international issues, I'll discuss the international issues. Economies of scale are this. If you're producing your products, for example, you produce HF and you send it to Brazil. Now, but our scale is not that large. So the people with higher economies of scale, such as our other colleagues from China, produce at higher rate, and they can undersell us in terms of price. And we get knocked out of the market. That's been happening quite a lot. And in other products like NF3, we've been almost completely knocked out of the market because of the level at which we produce. And with that, we start losing money. Now, we're looking to reorient healthcare differently, and the board is a task team that's working on this, and we hope there will be results next time we talk to you. In terms of NTP and the incident, in the production of the life-saving molybdenum at NTP, we use hot cells. These are little compartments that keep the radiation in, and we manipulate it with manipulators to produce the molybdenum, but we lost one of those cells because the window cracked. And when that happens, you don't get molybdenum out, and so we lose millions per day as we fixing the situation. We've since commissioned a new cell which uses much more advanced technology in the manipulation of the molybdenum and the production of it, and we think this is the way to go. We are busy with plans to commission a further two. And of course, to do that, we have to work with the regulator, we have to work with international suppliers, etc. There is a time that we want to spend just doing that. Number of incidences around safety. The safety level of NESA, and the regulators here to witness what I'm going to say, is very high. We do not have safety incidences that are of concern to the safety of personnel and the public regularly. But of course, when we had the incident at ATP that I've just described, there was potential for contamination of workers, and at some point we thought maybe the public, but that wasn't the case. So I have no other incidences to tell you about. However, you will regularly, because of the nature of NEXA, when you find a uranium-related material in Durban or in Cape Town, you will find that NEXA is involved. But but it's not because it's ours. It's because we are the only entity in the country that is mandated to handle radioactive substances such as those. So you'll find us in the newspapers simply because we had to collect, we tested, and we reported. The other question is the enriched material that we have in the country growing? I find this question very interesting. I will tell you this, that no is the answer. However, if we are going to produce more and more molybdenum to supply to hospitals nationally and internationally, we will increase the amount of enriched material that we utilize for the purpose from time to time as a consumption material. So you will find that at some point it is this level, at another point it is that level, but the total over time is not increasing. The funding of the decommissioning and decontamination, how much should we need? There is a plan that was approved by Cabinet, I think, in 2009. Every 3 years, we relook at the plan and look at, and recalculate with escalation figures, etc., how much is required to complete the decontamination. So, this year you'll see that we're talking about the money that is required because this year, this calendar year, we've done a re-evaluation of the requirement. And it has been submitted, and I believe it will show up in Cabinet. How much it will be eventually, it's as approved by Cabinet. Cabinet might say it's how much or another much. I don't report on what sits on Cabinet members because that's above my pay grade. I've spoken about the entity incident. The other question, very interesting, and I would like to know the answer too. How much are you banking on the nuclear fleet? I don't know how much to bank on it. Government is working on it. I see announcements. Some of it I participate in because of the expertise that comes from NETSA, but I don't know how much to bank on it. However, I think I understand the question to be said. To what extent are you looking to this to be your only growth point? I'm telling you now that in terms of telecom, we're looking at backward integration. We're looking at going to the mining of fluorspar to ensure that this important chemical is available. I'm banking on that growth. In terms of NTP, we're looking at the forward integration in terms of producing the next product after molybdenum and selling it, because at the moment, for molybdenum, I get 10x, 1x in terms of money when I sell it. When I sell the next product coming out of molybdenum, I get 10x. Then dollar sign appears in my face, I need the 11x. So my growth strategies or growth strategies of NETSA Group are based on that kind of thinking. They are not entirely based on nuclear fleet. In terms of nuclear fleet, we're looking at manufacturing. We want to manufacture a piece of the steam generator that has been approved. We are busy manufacturing piece of the NPT tank, the PTR tank that will be replaced with Cooper, that part of it. And we're getting better and better at doing this. And so when international-based companies that are supplying South Africa come here and we say localize, the localization of the through NETSA. So I'm looking at mainly three growth points. They're not exhaustive in this. I'm looking at backward integration as far as telecom is concerned, forward integration at MTP, and in manufacturing, I'm looking at getting better and better at the manufacturing of high-value components. The next question was around training and the collaboration with universities. Which universities? these bridges are, there's at least five that we collaborate on a daily basis with. Northwest University, both the campus at Potchefstroom and at Mafeking, University of Johannesburg, we're doing a master's training program called MSOL with them. Pretoria Universities, we have about 8 PhD and master's students on our side today from Pretoria University. Wits University, we work with them on in terms of radiation protection, and University of Cape Town in terms of engineering. In the mechanical engineering degree, they have an elective on nuclear science, and we work with them around that. And the surplus of graduates that come out of those programs, we consume ourselves. And it's a surplus because some of them they come spoken for. And we take those, we cherry pick basically. In terms of the funding for nuclear forensics that did not come through, we were very hopeful that the United States government in one of its guises will assist us in terms of the funding of the forensic laboratory. However, we did not get the funding. We think we're going to get it. We are asking also the International Atomic Energy Agency, their technical cooperation division, to assist us in this regard. I think we're going to get that funding. It's not a trade smash yet. In terms of development in pharmaceuticals, I understand this question to be talking about the Caterpillar project on the active ingredients of antiretrovirals, and I understand this question emanating from people that interact with the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology. The leadership of EFSA here is no longer relevant. ITC is a designated leader of the Caterpillar project with support from the Department of Science and Technology. We take a very small portion. We have the skills, so our people participate, but not as NEXA, but we want them to assist this very important program. It's not our core competence, but we don't want it to fail. In terms of the regular expenditure, I think the CFO has explained this very well, and we have processes and controls that will stop us from repeating this. Basically, we have a change of procedure to ensure that when we send out tenders, we are not just looking at our expectation, because we are sounding the market. So we will use the 80-20 and 90-10 together in most of our tenders. And in terms of the clearance certificates, we have a procedure that says you have to use companies with an up-to-date clearance certificate, no compromise. So there is a process of avoiding repeat findings in this regard. I think I've, Chair, I think I've dealt with most of the questions that were asked.
So that's all you. Okay. Honorable Low and Honorable Minister, can change the rules of the game when the game's on. No. And they're still here next. You blame your scientists for being very bad project managers. But I can see you're the same. As soon as you start speaking about your field of work, you can go on and on and on. So, and Honorable Honorable, please. I know you may feel strong about this. We have agreed we should now close. It's a good thing. It's a Friday that we must close on a good note. So we must thank Nexa. One person said he would have the next 4 years, I suppose, something like 4.5 years. So we'll still see. Thank you very much, Nexa. And honorable members, have a good weekend. It has been a long week. You are difficult sometimes this end of the week. Thank you very much.